From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of July, 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. Check out last week's USDA report and what it means for the price of corn with Todd Hubbs from the U of I, and discuss the weather forecast, Barry and the heat, with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. September corn for the day down 13 and a quarter cents at $4.41. December at $4.47, 12 and a quarter lower. July futures at $4.58 and three quarters, down 9. August soybeans 11 and a half lower at $9.01 and three quarters. November at $9.20, down 11 and a half. January 10 and three quarters lower at $9.32 and a quarter. And next year's May at $9.48 and a half, down a dime. Bean oil futures 3 cents lower at $28.28. The bean meal down $3.20 at $311.60. Wheat futures down 15 and a quarter in the September, 507 and three quarters. The settlement for the lead option in the soft red. The hard red September at 449, down 18 and a quarter. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August up 2.5 at 108.50. The October, though, at 109.77 and a half, down 20 cents for the day. And August feeder cattle a nickel higher at $141.65. July lean hogs at $70.77 and a half, down 27 and a half cents. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at these numbers and the damage that was done in Chicago today. It was pretty devastating today after the up move on Friday, I would think.
Yeah, we virtually gave everything back. It's kind of hard to imagine we pull back this much. Technically, it's a concern. We made a new high and closed lower. We did hold Friday's lows, which is a ray of hope for the most part. But technically, if you look at the charts, we are forming a head and shoulders top formation. So we need some positive news in through here to kind of violate this formation. If we don't violate this formation and move higher in through here, the technicians will come in and probably press this thing a little bit. So we've got to keep a close eye on it, because technicians, I don't have the grimy background or been on a trip like I have or you have to, you know, see some visible damage. I know I went across I-70 here over the weekend from Effingham to St. Louis, and I was buying the market all across there. I had a little relief in a construction zone. I couldn't see no crop there for a little while. But, man, I never dreamt it would be lower. And then on the way back from St. Louis, they cut across 72 there from Springfield to Champaign. And there were some decent-looking spots along there. But for the most part, there's still a concern about crop development and the quality of the crop. Well, we'll see what this afternoon's crop conditions report shows. They're looking for about 1% deterioration in the corn crop as a nation, and about unchanged on the beans. The key continues to be Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And even Missouri, only 28% good to excellent corn last week. But the downdraft, several things. One, there's a little bit more rain in the forecast. Two, China talks aren't, you know, showing in really any bullish signs. And China also, over the weekend, there's pretty good publicity on this June hog number report, for say. It continued to show for the year that pig inventory is down 25%, sow inventory is down over 26%, and even Cargill is looking at shutting down some feed mill facilities, and it just signals that the overall feed consumption or grain demand in China could be weighing in through here just due to this African swine fever. Also, too, we do have a full moon here, first part of the week here. Last time that happened was right before the crop report there in June, and the last time that kind of was a negative feature. So there are several things in the workings in through here that gave reason maybe to sell off. But one other thing, too, is I believe we got to remember who we're trading against in a sense. A lot of the futures activity is computers. The computer does not go out and walk around or travel around the nation looking at fields. They just read the headlines. And secondly, even the commodity fund managers, they're already kind of loaded up on the long side of corn futures, over 200,000 contracts long. And they're also in a position, too. They don't, I don't believe a whole lot of them, just a few of them talk to farmers, but for the most part, 99% of them are kind of technically orientated, and I don't believe they're, you know, too interested in crop conditions just yet, which might be different next week if we miss the rains here this coming week.
Well, maybe they'll see the headlines that say 100-degree heat.
Triple digits, omega, ring of fire.
Well, we'll look forward to those. All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it for the day.
All right, take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can listen to the bulk of our agricultural programming on demand anytime you'd like, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. In today's agricultural news, let's start with supply and demand. China's pig herd shrank 25.8% in June. That's compared with the same month a year earlier, while the sow herd contracted 26.7%, according to the Chinese Ministry of Agriculture. The drop in numbers comes amid a severe epidemic of African swine fever, otherwise known as ASF. It's deadly to pigs, but not harmful to humans. Some farming industry executives estimate that as much as half of China's sow herd has either died from ASF or been slaughtered because of the spreading disease. That is the supply side for pork in China. However, it is the demand side for U.S. soybeans, and that's had an impact on the price ratio. Corn to soybeans in the United States has come back to something more normal, but as it related to planting, Rob Johansson, who's the chief ag economist at USDA, said it got closer to 2-to-1, and that may have driven the acreage decisions farmers were making.
Now, if we look at the overall bean to corn price ratio, now sitting at 2.27 bean price to corn price ratio, getting back to a more normal level. Of course, that will move around as weather happens this year. We'll see how that evolves over the next several months. But just highlighting again the fact that we are at a very low bean to corn ratio at about 2 when planting was occurring, signaling to producers that if they could plant corn, they should plant corn. And it looks as though that happened. Also, just noting that that will send a fairly strong planting signal to producers in Argentina and Brazil going forward as they see that the relative returns of producing corn relative to beans is improved. And so we would expect to see likely increased acres planted to corn, second crop corn in Brazil, but also additional acres planted in Argentina as we move through the planting year here.
That's Rob Johansson. He's the chief ag economist at the United States Department of Agriculture. Let's stay in Washington, D.C., where there'll be a whole bunch of National Corn Growers Association members pounding around Capitol Hill on Wednesday and Thursday. Some 500 representatives, in fact, will meet with members of Congress and press for approval of the new NAFTA or USMCA, among other issues. One of those is likely to be the trade war with China, by the way. The president defended his trade record during a speech in Milwaukee on Friday, including the new $16 billion aid program for farmers and ranchers affected by the retaliatory tariffs.
It's not like things are perfect, but we're with our president. But now things are pretty good because we are doing $16 billion, and that was the most that China ever purchased. And some of the farmers are really doing well. I think they're really starting. We're over the hump. We're doing really well. And in the meantime, our government has billions of dollars of money pouring in, and that money is paid for by China.
But the trade war has caused problems, of course, for agricultural producers, especially those looking to send their goods to major markets like China. Wisconsin's exports to China have dropped $134 million, or about 25%, in the first 4 months of 2019, compared with the same period in 2018. That, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, whey, a dairy byproduct, was one of the state's hardest hit exports. By the way, across the six dates in the Minneapolis Fed District, exports to Canada, China, the EU, and Mexico fell by more than $1 billion from 2018 to 2019. Some of the goods most affected included soybeans, pork, ethanol, and combines. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He posted today a new article to the website farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. It's titled, Corn Prices Heating Up. Tell me about it, please, Todd.
Well, I was talking about after the WASDE report yesterday, or last week, which was somewhat bearish. You know, we saw ending stocks for 18-19 go up 145 million bushels. But despite that, you know, December corn futures closed at levels we haven't seen since before the June acres report. And I think just the uncertainty around one, acreage, and two, yields in the 2019 corn crop, we're starting to get a weather premium built into the market. And I think that's going to continue. You know, I don't think a lot of people believe the 91.7 million acres of corn out of the June acreage report. Most people, I think, are in 86 to 88 million acre range, depending on who you talk to. Here I am as this big out. I think it's around 85.2 million acres. Yeah, a little bit bullish on it. You know, when you look at state by state, they've got Illinois planting 11 million acres of corn, which is what they did last year. Indiana was up acreage. Ohio was slightly down. Michigan was at the same corn acreage. That seems like a bit of a stretch to me that those kind of acreage numbers are real. I think the prevent plant acreage in corn is going to be high. It depends on how the base expanded, right? From the 92.8 that farmers said in March. You know, to get 91.7, in my opinion, that means that the base would have had to have been above 100 million acres. You understand what I'm saying? Because I think we're going to look at 9 to 11 million acres of prevent plant. Now, it could be the case that I'm wrong and that farmers went ahead and planted all that corn in June, basically 40% of the crop. But I think in high APH areas, that prevent plant might have bought some bean acres as well as corn acres. So we'll see in the August crop production report. I think we'll have a better understanding of where it is. And as the FSA data comes in on prevent plant, I think we'll have a better understanding. Having said all that, if that 91.7 million acres is right, I don't see any way on earth that that 166 yield is going to be the number. It's going to be much lower than that based on the conditions that a lot of those acres went into. Even without that acres number being correct, I think when you drive along the road and look at the corn crop, it may look a lot better than when you look at it from above. And I think there we could see with the kind of heat that's coming into Iowa and parts of Illinois, we may get some rain out of this tropical storm Barry here in the Eastern Corn Belt. That'll help because we've had a couple weeks of really hot and dry weather with some pop-up storms here in Central Illinois. But I don't think this corn crop's, we're not looking at record yields this year, that's for sure. And I think you'll see the crop conditions as they come in through July start to weaken a bit. I think we'll see a nice weather premium in place.
Okay, so let's start with old crop corn. There's a lot of it around. If you aren't oversold, pre-sold for a new crop, and worried about having to make deliveries and not having the crop around, when you get a basis pop and a good basis pop, should you market that crop?
You know, it's up to you. Particularly here in the Eastern Corn Belt, we've seen some basis points that are extremely high. When you look at some of the ethanol plant basis reports out of Ohio and Indiana and parts of Illinois, I mean, we've seen plus 30 to plus 70, depending on where you're at, over July. You know, if you're looking at $5 corn, cash delivery, you might want to really think hard about taking that number. Do I think there's room to run? I do. I'm not sure the basis will continue to run at those kind of high levels. But in the Eastern Corn Belt, what the cash prices are telling us in the Eastern Corn Belt is, one, there's either not that much acreage out there, or two, the yield's down, or three, a wicked combination of both of those because people are holding on to their corn tight under this rally. So I think you see above $5 corn, can't really go wrong, I don't think, selling corn above $5. Now, you could try to get greedy and try to run it up. To go really high on corn prices this year, in my opinion, we're going to need both the acreage and the yield to suffer drastically.
Which part of the marketplace will do the heavy lifting between now and, let's say, the beginning of harvest sometime around October 1st? Is it more likely that cash prices will lift the market or that the futures will build in more weather premium?
I think the future, we've seen, this is one of those classic cases where the cash prices are sending a signal to the futures prices that you need to come up. And I think we'll see that continue as we move through July and into August. That August crop production report is going to be a big piece of information. And I think it's probably going to set the tone for the market for the rest of the year until we get a good, much better handle on yield. I'm not optimistic on yield. And I, like I said, I'm maybe a bit of an outlier on the acreage, but I still think at a minimum we're looking in the high 80s of acreage. And if that acreage number is right, I don't think there's any way we're hitting 166 yield. So I think the cash market's trying to send a signal, particularly in Eastern Corn Belt, to the futures market that you guys have been lowballing this. Now, we saw the market's down this morning. If you're an end user of corn, I think these down runs are prime buying opportunities to sort of alleviate what could be a supply problem in the 1920 marketing year.
Finally, you mentioned that August crop production report. Is it the updated acreage survey that's going to make the difference there? Because I wouldn't think that they'd have a very good handle on what yield looks like.
It's going to be the acreage survey. So they're re-interviewing. I'm curious of what that number is going to be. I think we all are. I think there's a general expectation it's coming down, maybe not to the level I said. I think when you think about actual corn for grain, the planted acres matters, but the harvested acres is going to be important as well. And I think we could see a lot more failed acres this year. You know, right now the USDA has at about 8.1 million acres between planted and harvested. I think you could see that be much bigger based on some of the corn crop that went in and the kind of weather we've had. Many places need rain now. We may be getting some of it in Eastern Corn Belt. You know, the Dakotas look, I bet their corn crop's looking pretty good. They've got a good set of rain coming in, but there's parts of northern Missouri and Iowa and northern Illinois that I think are, you know, they're under pressure as we move into pollination. So, having said all that, the uncertainty is massive. I understand that, and I may be a little bullish on this. To me, the worst case scenario for corn farmers is that the acreage number's right and the yield number's right, because then you're looking at a corn price $3.80 to $4 cash. I just don't think that's going to be the case.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Monday, let's check the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago Market. Looks like we're going to have a hot week. Can you tell me about this, please?
Sure, Todd. As we look out from now through the end of this week or out until the upcoming weekend, going to see the hottest temperatures of the summer so far. In fact, during the time frame of July 17th through the 22nd, so that's this Wednesday all the way through Sunday and next Monday, we are forecasting widespread maximum temperatures in the 90s and lower 100s across the Corn Belt, with overnight minimum temperatures in the 70s and low 80s. Now, the hottest readings will be registered in the western and southern sections of the Corn Belt, including Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri. Western Illinois is involved with that as well. And certainly the hottest temperatures of the season so far. Looking out beyond this next week, we do see some gradual easing of the heat. And so with that, temperatures will be cooling down gradually as we go through next week, but we still feel temperatures will stay warmer than normal across the Corn Belt. They're just not going to be as anomalous as temperatures this week, and that's a pretty kind of normal progression when we get into these heat waves. They last, can last anywhere from like 5 to 7 days before then backing off a little bit.
So is this a heat wave that will come and go? Sometimes we see those during summer months.
Yes, Todd, our thoughts are that that's going to be the case here, even looking out into the early part of August. The way that this heat is evolving with this ridge of high pressure, we're seeing more indications that the ridge will continue to oscillate or expand at times across the Corn Belt and across much of the central U.S., with at times the ridge center a little bit further west out over like the plains. Which looks to be the case when we have the relaxation next week, but this kind of oscillation of the ridge, this in and out of the heat, does look to continue and be the pattern even going into early August as well.
So beyond Barry, does this bring a ring of fire set of showers with it so that at least there'll be some a relief from the dryness in between the times that the heat is really high?
The way that the ridge looks to oscillate here, Todd, we're not seeing any setup for really widespread significant rains. The best opportunity, at least for this week, it is going to be on the northern periphery of the ridge in areas of the Dakotas, Minnesota, maybe even clipping northern Iowa here coming up. And next week, though, as the ridge shifts a little bit further west and weakens, much of the Corn Belt is in a northwest flow pattern. That's a drier than normal pattern. So it's not bone dry, but it does limit rainfall. So even with the ridge alignment here coming up, we just don't see a setup that would begin to bring back larger coverage rain events here for the Midwest.
Do you have a good idea of what the path of the remnants of Barry will look like?
Yeah, we are expecting the Ohio River Valley acreage to be really the main recipient of the rains. And that's really today on into tomorrow. In fact, we're already seeing rains in southern Illinois, southern Indiana. So that will expand across those areas over the next couple of days. But we don't see it encompassing, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, Michigan, northern Ohio. And basically, by Wednesday morning, the remnants are out of the picture and drier weather returns.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. A couple of items to be aware of. You should visit the Farm Doc Daily website each and every business day of the year. The agricultural economist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois write an article and post it to that website. We are now in their 20th year. We're celebrating that this summer, and they have posted more than 2,000 articles over that time frame. In fact, again today, you can find that article by University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs there right now about the heating up of corn prices and his expectations as we go through the months of July and August into that crop production number. That's Farm Doc Daily at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The other place to visit is our website, the home page for willag.org, willag.org. You'll find those articles from the Farm Doc Daily website posted there, or at least the headlines, and they'll drop you out to the Farm Doc Daily website and my Twitter account, at Commodity Week. You can do that as well, following me if you want on Twitter at Commodity Week, or just look right there on the website at willag.org if you don't know what Twitter is, and you'll be able to follow along with what I'm up to, including some of the places that I'll be all this summer long. Oh, and don't forget, you can always send me a link where you like me to show up. I'm Todd Gleason.